Let us open our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the first book of Kings, the 10th chapter, and we'll read the first 13 verses. 1 Kings chapter 10, the first 13 verses, which tells us of the Queen of Sheba's visit to King Solomon. After our scripture reading, we'll sing Psalter number 45, the first three stanzas about the great king. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. We'll listen to this passage for the preaching on this Thanksgiving Day of the visit of the queen of Sheba to Solomon. But I want to draw your attention especially to the verses 6 to 9. Let me read those verses again. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Boys and girls, who would you like to celebrate Thanksgiving with? Of course, Thanksgiving is not the same without our parents, without our brothers and sisters and other relatives. But if you could pick any home, or place where you would like to celebrate Thanksgiving, where would it be? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have Thanksgiving Day with the royal family, for instance, or another very important family? What would it be like to have Thanksgiving with them? Well, today we're allowed to celebrate Thanksgiving with the Queen of Sheba in King Solomon's palace. Let's join them as we listen to Thanksgiving with Sheba's Queen. That's what you can write over the sermon, Thanksgiving with Sheba's Queen. We'll see four things. First of all, the questions she asks. Secondly, the impression she has. Thirdly, the God she praises. And fourthly, the gifts she gives. Thanksgiving with Sheba's Queen. First of all, the questions she asks, the impressions she has, the God she praises, and lastly, the gifts she gives. It's a remarkable visit between the Queen of Sheba and the King of Israel, Solomon. King Solomon has become famous for his wisdom and his wealth, and he has asked the Lord for a wise and an understanding heart, it's told us in 1 Kings chapter 3. He's asked for that wise and understanding heart in order to know how to govern the nation over which the Lord has placed him for the good and the blessing of the people of Israel. And it's become clear that the Lord has given Solomon great wisdom as well as riches and honor. And the reputation of Solomon spread far and wide. And verse 24 of this chapter tells us how people from all over the world came to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And one of those visitors was the Queen of Sheba. Who was she? Where did she come from? Well, she is queen of the kingdom of Sheba. Jesus will call her in Matthew 12, verse 42, the queen of the south. So Sheba is south of the land of Israel, and some have said that she came from the land of Ethiopia, or more likely, more to the east in what is today Yemen, in the southern part of the Arab Peninsula. It's a region with a bountiful supply of natural resources, gold and spices and precious stones. And this Queen of Sheba rules over that wealthy little kingdom. And this queen, verse 1 tells us, this queen of the kingdom of Sheba has heard of Solomon's fame. How she heard of his fame isn't told us, but news of the wisdom of King Solomon and the wealth of his kingdom has spread across the then known world, most likely by means of traveling merchants or salesmen. And reports of his fame have even reached southern Arabia and are heard by the queen of Sheba. She is not sure if she believes it all. She's skeptical, actually. That's what she will say in verse 7. I believe not the words, she says, of the reports that I heard. No, she doesn't believe it. Surely this king can't be as wise and great as the people are saying. But her curiosity has been aroused. She's intrigued and she wants to see for herself. So she makes plans for a state visit with the King of Israel in order to confirm the reports and to ask him questions on her heart and in her mind. It would be a long journey. Not at all that easy of a journey either. A journey of more than 2,000 kilometers through the hot deserts of Arabia, north towards Jerusalem. But she sets out on this journey, and finally she arrives in Jerusalem with a great procession, with numerous attendants, and with heavily laden camels. And as she arrived with her great procession, she must have noticed, as she took in the city of Jerusalem, she must have noticed its prosperity and its wealth evident everywhere. I mean, verse 27 of this chapter tells us that silver was as common as stones. Imagine that. And cedars were as common as sycamore trees. Also, as she enters the palace of Solomon, she must have noticed the beauty of everything that is there. And she's brought, most likely, into a beautiful room where Solomon received visitors and met with others and communed with others. And there they can have their conversation, and a conversation they have. The queen has hard questions to ask Solomon. She tests him. Verse 1, proves him with hard questions. What kind of questions? Wouldn't you want to have listened to some of the questions that were burdening her? We're not told specifically. Perhaps she asked questions about political affairs, how to govern the people. Maybe she asked questions about international affairs, maybe questions about threats of war or economic problems or other domestic concerns. But I also think she asked other questions, for she has many questions and riddles that she has no answers for. But Solomon can answer her questions. Her riddles, her personal questions that are life questions, hard questions, questions she's asking of someone who takes life seriously. Instead of just living superficially, she has important questions like, who am I? And who made me? And what am I here for? And where am I going? And what comes after this life? And who is God? And what is He like? And how can I know Him? Yes, questions also about God. After all, verse 1, we're told that the Queen of Sheba connects the fame of Solomon with the name of the Lord. Can I put it this way? She wants to know about the Lord. She wants to know about the true and living God. Who is He? And how can I know Him? And I sense that without Him, I'm lost and miserable. And yes, questions maybe about sin and evil. Where does it come from? The origin of evil. And what about my guilty conscience? Because she too, as a child of Adam, was conceived and born in sin. And how is there a way to be forgiven by God? The last words of verse 2 say that she communed with Him of all that was in her heart. She confided in Solomon about her struggles and her burdens and her riddles. And for all her questions, Solomon has answers. He could help her. He could instruct her. He could teach her. He had answers to her questions, and there was never a question by which he was stumped. I don't say that he answered immediately. He may have taken his time for the hard questions, but there was never a question in which he said, "Sorry, I can't answer that." Even the complicated and complex questions that she asks, he has answers for. And how thankful when we may have people like that in our lives, when we can confide in them and ply them with questions and ask for help and ask for wisdom with our riddles and with our questions and with our burdens. I wonder if we do that. What a blessing it is to find wisdom and to get understanding, as Proverbs 3 verse 13 says. What a blessing it is when someone speaks wisdom and gives understanding and speaks that into our lives in the midst of our own foolishness and a world of great folly. What a blessing especially to resort to the greater than Solomon and to confide in him, the Lord Jesus, with our questions and with our riddles, with our need and with our guilt. What a sad thing when we don't. Yes, what a sad, what a terrible thing if we don't resort to Jesus. That if we don't resort to Jesus, having sat under the gospel ministry, the Queen of Sheba will testify against us. Jesus says that. Matthew 12:42, she will rise on the day of judgment. Jesus is speaking there to religious leaders of his day who had a lot of criticism, who thought they knew it all, but they never came to Jesus with burdens of their own heart. And the Queen of Sheba, Jesus says, will rise on the day of judgment because she came from the ends of the earth to see Solomon. And you didn't have to go far, he can say to them, and he can say to us. And she received no invitation. Solomon did not send her an invitation. If you come, I will help you. But we have received numerous invitations to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many invitations have we not received? She will rise in the judgment and testify against us if we don't come to Jesus, if we don't confide in Jesus. Don't you have any questions to bring to Jesus? Young people, don't you have any difficult riddles in your life that you don't understand? Boys and girls, don't you ever have questions, important questions that maybe you try and talk with your mom about or your dad, but your mom and dad can only help you so much. Bring them to Jesus. It's what Nicodemus did, who came to Jesus by night. He needed light and understanding, and he had no idea how much light and understanding he needed. He needed to be born again. But Jesus could give him light, and Jesus could give him understanding, and Jesus could give him the new birth. And he knew just what to say to Nicodemus. Or later with Thomas, he struggled with unbelief and doubt, but he knew, Jesus knew exactly what to say to Thomas in his struggles and with all his unbelief and doubt. He knows exactly what to say to people like you and people like me. You know, I love that description of a student who described what happened to her in her university. When she went to university, she came in contact with the gospel. She hadn't grown up with it. And she said, I went to school to be a teacher, but I instead became a student of the Lord Jesus. Has that happened in your life? That you've confided in Jesus, become a student at the feet of Jesus, because he's the best teacher. Lord's Day 12 says he's the chief prophet and teacher who has fully revealed the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. He's able to solve all our riddles and to teach us what we need to know to live and die happily He's the answer to my guilt. He's the answer to my need. He's the one who can unburden me, can give relief, because He has satisfied the justice of God, and in Jesus there is forgiveness of all my sins. These questions that we have, that we need to ask, the answers are in the greater than Solomon. Yes, Solomon was a man of great wisdom. He had wisdom, you can say, of Solomon, but Jesus is wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Solomon has wisdom, but Christ is wisdom. And Solomon could point the Queen of Sheba the way, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Have we been set on a journey like the Queen of Sheba? A journey to Jesus. No, you don't have to go far. You don't have to plot a long journey of 2,000 kilometers or more. He is right there where you are and where you turn to Him with all your need. As Acts 17 tells us, He is not far from every one of us. We can seek Him in our rooms, in our homes, on the job site. There where we discover our need, are we seeking Jesus? Wisdom isn't found in us. Others can help us a little bit sometimes, but we need to end up at the feet of Jesus, confiding in Him and telling Him all our riddles and burdens and questions, and seeking His answers for our heart and life that will satisfy and that will bring us safely to the other side. The questions she asks. Secondly, the impressions she has. Yes, the impressions she has. This visit makes a deep impression upon the Queen of Sheba. Verse 4 and following, we're told this: "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." She's seen many things, and the writer of the book of Kings begins to list them, a number of them. The list starts off with seeing the wisdom of Solomon. Remarkable expression that you would say, "Can you see wisdom then?" I mean, that we hear wisdom, I can understand that, but can we see wisdom then? Maybe it was the wisdom that manifested in Solomon's own life and in his rule, or maybe she saw examples of his wisdom in the judgment that he administered, as he did, for instance, with the two women in 1 Kings 3. When he judged who did the living child belong to. But more makes an impression on the queen. Also his construction projects and the meal provisions on the tables and the multitude of his attendants and how orderly they were, every one in his own place. It was clear that these attendants knew where they had to be, and they knew what their task was, and their clothing and his cupbearers. She finds it all so astounding. And then the last thing in this list mentioned that makes an impression on her is his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. His ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. And then it may mean that he makes his way to the temple with reverence and with devotion and with humility. There was nothing casual about his going to the house of the Lord. This was a special thing that is clear to her, and it may have had the effect on the Queen of Sheba that she says, "If this man, this great man, humbles himself before the Lord God, the way that he does, how great must the Lord God of Solomon be? Or maybe, when it speaks about his ascent, it could be that the ascent spoken of here means the ascent of the offering. Was she present, maybe, on one of those occasions, as mentioned in 1 Kings 9, verse 25, as he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and burned incense before the Lord? All these sacrifices that pointed to the great sacrifice that would come in the fullness of time, in whom the wrath of God would be turned away and peace would be restored, and we can come to the Lord with our needs and with our cares. Whatever it is she witnessed, this last thing may have been the climax of it all, that she's overwhelmed. The last words of verse 5, there was no more spirit in her. She's breathless. She's astounded. She's overwhelmed by his insight and knowledge. All that she has seen takes her breath away, and she says, I heard these reports about your wisdom, but I didn't believe the reports about your wisdom till I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And she's realizing that the reports she heard were not exaggerated reports. The reports that she had heard about his wisdom and his honor, they weren't exaggerated. In fact, the half of it wasn't told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And she's standing in awe of Solomon. And it's fitting in a certain sense to stand in awe and to be amazed by the knowledge and abilities of people. And then I don't just mean people who are able to regurgitate information. You can be a robot and do that. But I mean that life that is transformed by the grace of God, that shows the fear of the Lord, that gives help in our trials and direction in our need. But I mean especially to be amazed by the Lord, to be overwhelmed. Have you never experienced that? At times in which you were overwhelmed by the goodness and kindness of the Lord, here you could confide in him. As you were weighed down by your troubles and need, every other avenue was closed to you. But the Lord showed you that by him you can find acceptance, and in him there is forgiveness, and you could unburden yourself to him and pour out your sorrow before him. And what a blessing it is to pour out your heart into his sympathetic ear and into his gracious heart and tell him all your needs and all your fears and all your doubts. That can give relief. But especially, it's special to have someone to whom you can pour out your needs, but it's even more special when the Lord comes with answers to your needs and words from his mouth. An instruction for the way. When he speaks, how does he do that? Do we have to travel to Jerusalem? No. We can turn to him and turn to his word and by his spirit. And through the preaching of the gospel, he comes to give answers to our sometimes baffling questions in our hearts and in our life. That's what Sheba's queen found. That's what Asaph found in Psalm 73. Asaph, who was troubled and burdened with things in the world. He didn't understand at all. He was confused. He was greatly tried. Till he came into the house of the Lord. There answers were given, Asaph found. Answers are given in God's Word. Answers are given in God's house, especially the answer how God can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. The answer that through Christ I can be forgiven and my sins can be cast into the depths of the sea. Isn't that what I need also on a Thanksgiving day like today? Through faith I am adopted into His family. By grace I am accepted in the Beloved. That's why He came into this world, friends. Not just to point the way like Solomon, but to be the way and to take your place, dear believer, and as our Lord's Supper form puts it, here's the great answer to our soul needs. Whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have shed my blood for you. That's why He can forgive your sins, troubled soul. That's why He can pardon you, transform you, and you're overwhelmed sometimes, aren't you, dear believer? Overwhelmed sometimes by His goodness and by His grace. Just like the Queen of Sheba. Times when you're breathless. And you say with Paul in Romans 11, oh, the depths here, the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His ways. They're past finding out. Has that ever been your experience? Because you need to know this for yourself. It can't just be your religion, your Christianity cannot just be based on rumors. You must know this for yourself. You have to be set on a journey yourself. And come to the King Jesus yourself and have dealings with Him yourself. Do you have spiritual questions in your heart? And have you asked the hard questions of Him and brought them to Him and have had such an impression of His goodness and grace and love? Then you also want to break out in song and in thanksgiving. And acknowledge the goodness of the Lord. That's our third point. The God she praises. The God she praises. Oh, it's true she begins in verse 8 by ascribing happiness to the servants of Solomon. In verse 8, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. She's saying what a privilege these servants of Solomon have. I mean, the queen has mixed feelings. She's thankful that she could have a visit with Solomon and ask her questions and hear his answers. But she has mixed feelings because she has to return again to her own country. She has to make her way back to her little empire. And Sheba, and she most likely won't be able to come again. But these servants of Solomon, they get to hear the wisdom of Solomon every day. They may be in the presence of King Solomon every day. They may hear the words of Solomon every day. What a privilege is theirs. Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Now, did the servants of Solomon always appreciate their privilege? Maybe they did. But it's also possible, isn't it, to take privileges for granted. Are we maybe doing that with our privileges? Are we taking the privileges that the Lord gives us for granted? If, you know, there comes times when privileges that are taken for granted are privileges that are taken away. Shall we not let these words sink in then? Happy are Christ's servants. Happy are they who know Christ's presence, who can hear His voice. As Psalm 89 sings, how blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. But then the queen sings the praises of the God of Israel, verse 9. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. She's taken it all in. And she ends in praising the Lord God. Why? Did you notice what the reason is for her thanksgiving? What the theme is of her thanksgiving? It's the love of God. And she says three things about that love. At least three things. It's a personal love, it's a national love, and it's an eternal love. First of all, it's a personal love. It's love for Solomon. The Queen of Sheba says to Solomon in verse 9, he delighted in thee. She has reason to believe that he is loved by God in a personal way. The Lord had said that too when he gave Solomon a name that means loved of God, Jedidiah. 2 Samuel 12, verse 25. He was the Lord's beloved. It's what the Lord had said by the prophet Nathan. Solomon was the beloved of the Lord. And that's a great privilege to be loved by God and to be in a saving relationship with the Lord. And Solomon had that. It's a personal love. It's also a national love. Oh, then in a different sense, no doubt. But she sings of that too, for the Queen of Sheba says in verse 9 that he loved Israel forever. Moses had said that too in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, that the Lord loved Israel not because they were better, not because they were greater, but simply because he chose to love them. And he shows that love, Sheba's queen says, by giving Israel a king, and not just any king, but a king who does judgment and who does justice. Even though there is injustice in the world, and even though there is injustice in the land, as the prophets also had to speak about, it's true. It's sad, but it's true. There would be injustices among the people of Israel. There would be lying, extortion, oppressing the poor and crushing the needy. But Israel may have a king that will clear the innocent and punish the wicked. What a privilege to have a king like that, and to belong to a kingdom in which justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Psalm 89, verse 14. And that should make the citizens of Israel ask, what pleases the Lord? And it should make the citizens of Israel ask, and what if I have displeased the Lord? Because just belonging to the nation of Israel, while that is a privilege, it's not enough. Just having been born into a covenant home is not enough. No, what must I do with my sin? Those things in my life that I have not done justly, I have not loved mercy, and I haven't walked humbly with my God. What about that in my life? And it should make the Israelites earnest to know the forgiveness of their sins and the desire to fear God and to honor the King the Lord has given them. But that love and the sense of that love comes and goes in the life of God's people. And what if we, as our baptism form asks, what if we through weakness fall into sin? We do sin. We do go astray from the Lord. Solomon himself did. But the Queen of Sheba said his love is not only a personal love and a national love, but it's an eternal love. The Lord loved Israel forever. And Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And don't you need that love too, in your own soul and in your own life? Do you see your need for God's love? this love of God that brings you into a real and living relationship with Himself. A love that will not let you go. Do you see your need for this? Relationship with God, your Maker, through Christ the Redeemer, worked by His Holy Spirit so that you may know His love in your own life and grace. And maybe this morning, just like the Queen of Sheba, you don't know this love yourself. She's not talking here about God's love for herself. Maybe you don't know about that love for yourself, but has it ever astonished you that He shows love to anybody? That He shows His love to sinners, and that He's worthy to be praised on account of this. And it shows the Lord's work in the Queen's heart and life. And here actually is an answer to Solomon's own prayer, which he prayed in 1 Kings 8, verse 41, when he prayed that strangers and foreigners would hear the name, the great name of the Lord, and be drawn to Him. That's why the Queen of Solomon has come. That's why she is singing. And I don't know about you, but I want to join in with the Queen of Sheba because of God's love that gives a king like this, a king who upholds justice. That's why He went to the cross, and that's why He suffered and died in the place of sinful people, so that He can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. Friends, have you been made an inquirer of King Jesus and an admirer of King Jesus? Do we love listening to His voice, and does it lead us to worship Him? There's the questions she asks. There's the impressions she has. There's the God she praises. And lastly, the gifts she gives. The visit ends with the exchanging of gifts. With the giving of a number of royal gifts. She gives gold, about 4.5 tons of gold, and sack after sack of spices and precious stones. And the emphasis here in verse 10 falls on the spices. Never again would Solomon receive such a cargo of spices as the Queen of Sheba brought. And it's clear she's very generous and she has a lot of gifts to give. Isaiah 60 verse 5 prophesies of this very thing. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Hiram's ships also brought almug trees, the wood of which Solomon used for pillars and for furniture in the temple and in the palace, and from it also were made harps and other musical instruments for the musicians. What gifts were given by the Queen of Sheba? And here is a mark of grace. This is what the Lord works when He works in your heart, this sense of gratitude to Him that says, in the words of one of the songs that has become another favorite in our homes, "All that I am, I owe to Thee." Understand the Queen of Sheba? That says, take my gold and my silver. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Do you understand that desire on this Thanksgiving Day? And when you give to the Lord and to His cause so generously, you won't be the poorer for it. Because it all comes from the Lord anyways, and the Lord is prepared to give more. Solomon says to the Queen of Sheba in verse 13, she can have anything she wants besides the things he had already given her. That's what the Lord is like, isn't He? Those who give liberally shall have no lack. He will give more abundantly than we can ask or think. That's the visit that the Queen of Sheba had with King Solomon. And that's how I think the Queen of Sheba could return with joy and gladness because of what she had seen and heard. You know, later we read of someone else who also went on a long journey to Jerusalem. And he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 8, verse 39. He had also heard of the God of Israel and was reconciled to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his heart and life he received a treasure that was greater than all the riches of Solomon. Do you have that treasure? It's what wants to sing, Christ shall have dominion. Amen. O most good and gracious Lord, what a blessing to have such a King, greater than Solomon, who has answers to all of our riddles, questions, doubts and fears, burdens of sin and burdens of guilt. We pray Thee that we may resort to Him with that faith worked by Thy Holy Spirit, and that the Queen of Sheba would not rise in judgment against us on that great day. So grant that we may have Thanksgiving Day this day, reckoning with the judgment, but also reckoning with the King who bore the judgment and who has mercy to give. Lord, be with us. Remember us in all our needs and ways in this day and in this week that lies before us. Pardon graciously all our sins too. Blot them out in the blood of the Lord Jesus, and hear us in His name. Amen.